I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Now look back, why would John make a statement like that? Why would John say, well, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? Well, Jesus Christ was going to do something that John could not do. Look back in verse 11. John talking, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so John, what he's saying is, I need that spirit baptism. I need to be baptized of you, and then comest thou to me? And so, look what the Lord said, verse 15. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it cometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, in verse 11, you'll find down through there, he said in verse 11 again, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, there are three baptisms in that verse. There's water baptism, there's spirit baptism, and there's fire baptism. Notice in the land, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there are three baptisms there. Let me look at another baptism. Look in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. And notice in Luke chapter 12. Notice he says there in verse 49, Luke 12, 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? How baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened till it be accomplished? Now he'd already been baptized with water. And he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Then there's another baptism. And that baptism in Luke chapter 12, we're going to see later on, is a baptism of death. So there, when we talk about baptism, not every baptism that's mentioned in the Bible has to do with water. But yet when people read it and they see the word baptism, they immediately think, water. And I just showed you four baptisms, and only one of them has water in them. And so whenever it doesn't say water, don't assume that it is water. Because it could be spirit baptism. It could be fire baptism. It could be baptism into death. Immersion into death. Now, then we come to the point, so there are many baptisms in the Bible. Then the question is, well, why was Christ baptized? Well, back in Matthew chapter 3, he said in verse 15, Suffer it to be so now. John was trying to prevent it. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus explains why. Now look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And notice in verse 17. Matthew 5, 17. Jesus said, I gotta suffer it to be so, John. Permit this to happen because we gotta fulfill all righteousness. Look in Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So what's he fulfilling? When he says in Matthew 3, when he said it's suffer it to be so now, for it behoveth us to fulfill all righteousness. righteousness, and then you find where he's comparing that with Matthew 5:17, where he said, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law, then the fulfilling of the righteousness of Matthew 3 has to be the law. Am I right or am I wrong? There is no other righteousness there is. Hang on to Matthew 3 there and turn over with me and look in Philippians and see what the Apostle Paul says about something about the law. In Philippians chapter 3, he's given an account of his life. And he said in verse 4, though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he lists several things down through there why he could trust in his flesh, like so many people are doing today. They're trusting in their ordinances of religion instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said. He said he was circumcised the eighth day, verse 5, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now watch it. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Then the righteousness, the law has a righteousness to it. And so how was Paul fulfilling that law blameless? And the righteousness of that law. Well, he was offering the sacrifice. He was doing what the law said. And when he failed, he'd offer the right sacrifices that would atone for his sins. But Jesus comes to John and says, John, you got to let this happen. Why? Why, Lord? I need to be baptized of thee. Because we got to fulfill all righteousness. It's the righteousness of the law. Well, that tells me something. That tells me that the water baptism of John the Baptist and Christ being baptized is of the law. Amen? Now, let's look at this thing about that. So when you read in Matthew back there, and you say, you put up here, I'm going to draw this line here, and I'm going to draw a line here. And so old John comes on the scene right here, and John is a law-abiding priest. Now, he's the son of a priest, and his mother was in the lineage of Levi. John the Baptist is 30 years old. I mean, he's a priest, come out of a priest's family. And so he's there, and he comes on the scene. Jesus Christ, when you read about this, you're in Old Testament back here. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The water baptism was a part of the law. And you know, people say, well, I don't hear all this. Folks, you know why people, they hang on to certain ordinances to control people. And they'll say, well, you don't get to heaven by being baptized, but you sure can't join their church and not be baptized. Now, since when did we set our standards in our assembly higher than God Almighty puts in heaven? I just heard a man this morning talking about how the people obeyed the gospel and got in the water. Now, where does the gospel have anything to do with water? The gospel is not repent and be baptized. The good news is Christ died for your sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day. Now, let's go on. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, look in verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are what? Dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, you know what a last will and testament is, don't you? Now, we can make a covenant with one another. I can have a business and I sell certain things and I make a contract, a covenant with you. I'll sell you this and guarantee this for so long and for such and such amount of money, and you sign on the dotted line. So we make a covenant, but that's not a testament. You know what the last will and testament is? That's where you make out, I leave such and such. This is what happens after my death. And you can have a will and a testament, but it's not enforced until you die. So where does Jesus Christ die at? Does he die at the front of those books or at the end of those books, Matthew through John? Let's just say you got Matthew through John. John the Baptist is here. You got the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him. He's baptized. And then at the end of those books, he dies. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are you in New Testament or Old Testament? You're in Old Testament, folks. What's going on back in Matthew here in the life of Christ? He's fulfilling all righteousness. He's keeping the law. He's circumcised. And he's a part of a priesthood. You know, it's fascinating about this thing. But anyway, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. So Jesus Christ comes and he says, I'm to fulfill the law. So you got Old Testament and you got law. All right, turn with me to John and look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, John explains why Christ is baptized. Are there any questions of why so far? Jesus explains why he was baptized. Fulfill the righteousness of the law. Keeping the law. Look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, notice in verse, let's see. I'm just going to, let's see. Verse 20. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. John. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to him that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Why are you baptizing, John, if you're not that Christ, Elias, neither that prophet? Did the Jews associate water baptism with the Christ, the prophet, or Elias? Huh? Was John doing anything new back there that they didn't know nothing about? Huh? No. They knew what he was doing. Why is it? Well, let's look at this thing. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I mean, they knew what John was doing. It wasn't something, they didn't come up to John and say, John, what are you doing? What in the world is going on? What are you putting, what's this water for? No. They knew exactly what he was doing. Look in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom unto me, a kingdom of what? Priest and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Turn with me and look in Exodus 29. In Exodus chapter 29. Now, was they to be a kingdom of priests? So that priest over here, a kingdom, that's what they were looking for. And over here at the second coming of Christ, when the Lord would come back, they was to be a kingdom of priests over here. And you know what them priests would do? They was to go out to the nations and evangelize the nations. That's why Matthew 28, go in all the world. Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So these priests was to go to all nations and bring them to the Lord. Before we read in Exodus 29, just turn the page down and come over and look in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. And folks, when you nail this thing down, it's as simple as ABC, and people just don't believe their Bible. But look in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and notice in verse 6, Isaiah 61, verse 6, he's talking to the nation Israel. Isaiah, and by the way, you'll find that the Lord quotes this passage in Luke chapter 4, down verses 1 and 2. So I know what I'm on solid ground. It has to do with the life of the Lord. Come with me, and it's going to happen again in the tribulations. But notice in verse 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. And they'll come to the brightness of the light. And I don't have time to go into all the things, but when Israel is exalted, they'll go and the nations of the Lord, in other words, if they'll go through the priesthood to get to God Almighty, and the nations will be saved. Now, look with me in Exodus 29. In Exodus chapter 29, notice in verse 1, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. Come down to verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt wash them with water. Then what do they get when they're ordained into the priesthood? What's the first thing? Well, I mean, there's other things, but what did they do? They take them to the tabernacle and what? They wash them with water. Another passage of Scripture. Notice verse chapter 40 of Exodus chapter 40. Verse 12. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. Thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him, sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And then verse 15, thou shalt anoint them. Then they get, what do they get? They get washed and they get anointed. Amen? Now folks, that's the law of the priesthood. If you go into the priesthood, the first thing that's going to happen to you is to be washed. All right? Come with me and look with me. Take Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Now notice in verse 16. Hebrews 9, 16. Oh, that's the wrong passage. That's my other one. Come back to chapter. Let's go to chapter 3. That's what I want. Give you the wrong reference. We done looked at the Testament. In Hebrews chapter 3, notice in verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. What Aaron was the high priest. What did he have to do? What was the first thing Moses had to do to him? Wash him. Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ high priest? What did he have to get done to him before he could enter into the priest offices? Wash. And so John the Baptist comes out, the son of a priest. You know what he's doing? He's calling out the priesthood. The Israel back here was apostate, and they was in rebellion against God Almighty, and had broke His covenant. And John comes on the scene. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, the king's at hand, and there he is. And he identifies the Lord Jesus Christ back in John chapter 1. Notice again, and John tells you why he's baptizing. John chapter 1, notice what he says there. John chapter 1, in verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saying, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I've said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, how did John know all this? Well, you're going to fix to find out. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bared record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, that it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. He had a revelation from God Almighty. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. In other words, God back there in the wilderness told John the Baptist, there's a man out there, that's the Messiah, that's the King, that's the one, that's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And John gets a revelation from God, said, when you baptize him and you see the Spirit descending, that's him, that's the one, and he's the one that are baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he said, that's why I'm here. What am I doing, John? I'm baptizing people in water, purifying them, getting them ready for the King. I'm bringing out a priesthood. Now, what's this thing about this thing? Jesus Christ, notice in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then there's a door into the sheepfold. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now Jesus said in verse 9, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, how is he the door and yet entereth in by the door? The door into the sheepfold is water baptism. the porter in the passage is John the Baptist. If you wanted to get into this sheepfold, you would, and Jesus said, I am the door, you would have to believe that He was the Messiah, the Son of Almighty God, and upon believing that, you would be washed to enter in the sheepfold of priest. Are y'all still with me? Now, folks, Jesus Christ, as the high priest, entered in by the door, water baptism, and if you got in that sheepfold, you would have to be too. But that ain't all. This priesthood, let's look at it just for a moment. Turn over to a passage that everybody wants to use. We might as well go on and knock it out. Look in Acts chapter 19. There everybody says, well, Paul baptized in Acts 19. Paul, I don't believe Paul baptized nothing in Acts 19. You see, Jesus Christ, no, well, let's just read it. Acts 19. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. John baptized with water. Right? He couldn't baptize with the Holy Ghost. They didn't know nothing about no Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, people say, Paul, I don't believe Paul baptized them guys. I believe that the Apostle Paul told them in verse 4 and verse 5, I believe that's still Paul talking, and when they heard this, not the 12 that he's talking to, but when they heard this from John, that you should believe on him that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Only when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of that one he's talking about. And Paul calls his name. And all Paul done was lay his hands upon them, and they got the Holy Spirit. Folks, do you not see the old John's back here preaching about the Messiah? And then he identifies the Messiah and says, that's him. Behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. How you know that, John? I came baptizing and God told me the one that I saw the dove on, that's him. And he's all of that is Old Testament over here. Now, so what does priests do? They get washed. Look in John chapter 3. And that water baptism is a ceremonial cleansing, typifying the setting apart of people for their Messiah. If you believe John's message, you get in the water, that water would be like separate you out from that apostate nation unto a kingdom of priests, a new nation over here. Now look in John chapter 3, quickly. My time is about gone, but look at John 3. Notice what he says. They come to Jesus, verse 22. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. So Jesus and his disciples down there baptizing, John and his disciples down there baptizing, and look what happened. Verse 25, there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about what? Now, what are they doing? They're baptizing. Well, you can't miss that. Look at the question, verse 26. And they came unto John, said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come unto him. That's the question. That's why you're down here prophesying. Everybody's going to him, but you're down here. They're down there purifying. What are they doing? They're setting the people apart. He's in there and he's calling out a new nation. This new nation he's calling out is people that hear John, they believe he's the Messiah, and so they go with John, they get in the water, and they're separated out. For instance, turn back and look in Numbers. In Numbers, notice where he's talking about cleansing. Let's see. Let me get there first. It's called the water of separation. And I don't have time to go through all the references. But folks, there ain't no doubt about it. What's going on? And I can't seem to find my reference. Yeah, verse 19. Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19. And this is where they take a red heifer and they burn them and they take the ashes of that thing and put it in there. Verse 19, a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation, for it is a purification of sin. And whenever they get in the water of separation, verse 13, whosoever touches the dead body of any of the dead, purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. In verse 20, you have the water of separation. And folks, that water of separation, it was for purifying from sin. And this is what the baptism was. It typified that water of separation. And you was in apostate nation back here. You'd heard the you believed he was the Messiah. You get in that water, it separated you out from among that apostate nation. That's what Peter's talking about. Look in 1 Peter over here and notice what he says about water baptism. In 1 Peter, notice in chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read this first, then we'll look at in chapter 3. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy what? There was a priesthood in here. And those believing remnant was a priesthood. Notice in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A new nation was started in here. And they went, and it went on into the book of Acts. And that new nation was a priesthood over here. 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. God said somebody with a flat nose, a blemish, couldn't enter into the tabernacle. That's why that man was healed and went into the temple rejoicing. It's a type of Israel's going out and getting them and healing them and bringing them into the tabernacle of the Lord. Now notice in chapter 3, in Hebrews chapter 3, notice in verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, but sometime were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water.
the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Did he say baptism now saveth us? Parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What was a like figure? Noah in the ark. That water came up and down and lifted that ark up and separated Noah from the carnage of the earth, separated them out from the world. And that's what water baptism was. It was a ceremonial cleansing and a purification. In other words, if you believe the message, you get in the water, and that water, like it separated you out from that apostate nation. Look in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7. And I'm fixing to close here. I'm going a little long, but I'll let you out short some other time. Notice in Luke chapter 7, talking about John the Baptist, verse 28, "For I say unto you among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him," John the Baptist, "and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves." How do you know? Being not baptized. If they didn't believe the message, would they get baptized? No. If they believed the message, would they? Then water baptism was a work that was produced by the faith they had. It was a symbol of what they believed. And folks, that's where they get it at today. And people say, well, it's a testimony. It was a testimony that they believed back there. And they would get baptized if they believed the message. Turn with me to Mark 16. In Mark chapter 16. Notice in verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." That's after his death, he's buried, and he's resurrected. And for 40 days, he talks to them. In between the cross and chapter 1 of the book of Acts, Jesus Christ spends 40 days with the 12 talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And he tells them this in Mark 16. "Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Well, that gospel that they're to preach is the gospel of the kingdom. I mean, it don't change. I mean, 5 days before he tells them in Mark 16, he says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. It's the gospel of the circumcision. What is the gospel of the circumcision? The good news of the circumcision is that Israel is going to be a kingdom of priests, and they're going to carry the message of their Messiah out to all the world, to all nations. And God's going to offer salvation through the nation Israel to all the nations. But bless your heart, today, God Almighty's not dealing with one nation. He's dealing with all nations, and all men can be saved, no matter where they come from, who they are, or what color their skin is. It's grace. He said in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." If you didn't believe the message, it didn't matter about the water. It was just a ceremonial thing of your belief in the Messiah. And it separated you out, and you became a part of that new nation. And that new nation is a kingdom of priests. And Peter, Hebrews, that's what Hebrews is all about. Jesus Christ is the high priest. But you're not a priest. In Acts chapter 9, God Almighty saves Paul. said he's brighter than the noonday sun. And so Paul is revealed a secret. And it's called the mystery in your Bible. And it has to do with the body. It's the body of Christ, where sinners of all nations are saved by grace. And they lose their identity. And what God is doing today, and by the way, when He comes back over here, He'll baptize them with fire. And if you wanted to miss the fire, you'd get in the water. In here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there is how many baptisms? One. Back here, I got over here, by the way, the Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus Christ baptizes them with Spirit. And Peter says in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's Spirit with the Spirit back there and with water back there. There's water over here and there's Spirit over here. He breathed on them. Over here, there's going to be water again. And there's going to be Spirit again. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. But bless your heart, there's one baptism here. And that's Spirit. Revelation chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look what he says. Verse 12 says, For as the body is one, hath many members, and all them members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. That's the one baptism. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He identifies you, separates you, places you into that body of Christ. And it's a spiritual body. And, well, before we read in Revelation, turn to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, and notice in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized in the water, that what it says? No. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual body. You can't see it, feel it, touch it, but it's there. And if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you, immerses you, places you into that body, and that's the one baptism that's going on today. God is building and putting together a body, and it's the body of Christ, and He gave Apostle Paul to that body, and he wrote 13 books to that body, Romans 2, Philemon, for your admonition, for your walk, how to live in the day of grace, and gave you the gospel that will cause men to be put into that body, and it's not back here. The reason there's so much confusion today is people want to take this body and put it back here and put this doctrine over here to control people. One other thing. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Now folks, that priesthood, that new nation, that program was halted and stopped, and a new program began here. A new age. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And He hath made us kings and what? Priests. Turn to chapter 5. in Revelation chapter 5. Notice what he says. Now you can't miss this thing. Verse 5, 10.